If you are sitting at home next to your radio, you're hearing the music faster than you are if you're in the hall.
Listening for the secret. Searching for the sound. This is The Sound Podcast with Ira Haberman. Subscribe to our newsletter today at thesoundpodcast.com/subscribe. Like us on Facebook and follow us on Instagram and Twitter. Now, here's Ira.
The Sound Podcast is proud to be part of the Osiris Podcast family, a growing community of music and cultural podcasts connecting music fans like you with conversation, commentary, and of course, music. For more, visit osirispod.com. Before we get to today's show, just wanted to thank you for listening to this episode. Don't forget to hit subscribe on your favorite podcast platform, leave a review, or share this episode with a friend. We've launched the Sound Podcast merch store featuring great designs, including our world-famous bear on tees, long-sleeve tees, hoodies, and much more in various sizes and colors. Check it out at thesoundmerch.com and support the Sound Podcast creators while looking awesome. The show starts now.
Trying to grow up strong, but we found great comfort in the music, in the journey that carried us along. We bought an old van, bought a drum set, got a $40 bass from the farm next door. Met a French Canadian in Rhode Island who told us to keep our sticks down, keep our heads up, and get a little something far. And we were trying to cross the world. We were trying to cross the world. We were trying to cross the world for what we found. Dropped a tranny in Effingham, Illinois, stealing gasoline in the freezing cold. Once teenage friends, now struggling with a place where the sidewalk ends. So we said goodbye in Boston, let the dirty water roll on. We were trying to cross the world. We were trying to cross the world. We were trying to cross the world for what we found. We were trying to cross the world. We were trying to cross the world. We were trying to cross the world for what we found. Trying to cross the world for what we found. We were trying to cross the world. We were trying to cross the world. We were trying to cross the world for what we found. We'll be right back.
You've been listening to Cross the World, the first song off of Dispatch's forthcoming record, Location 13. We've been big fans of this band since 1997's The General. Wow, it just hit me. That was over 20 years ago. Their sound blends folk and reggae, and this trio, who are back at it in earnest after a tumultuous break, have never sounded better. We caught up with Chad, who has many different pseudonyms, to talk about Location 13, their political and social discourse, and much more. Our conversation started when I asked Chad about why they took that initial hiatus and what brought them back together.
It was just the inner conflict between Brad Pete and I. Competition and kind of being too, almost like too close to each other for 8 years and not really knowing who we were individually and therefore not really appreciating what the others were. We're not really appreciating the gifts, of each other, and more like just feeling resentful of this or that. So I think it's a tough period to, like, when you're 18 to whatever it was, 24 or something, to, cause it's such a period of growth. But if you're attached at the hip with two other people, I think we were just so different as the years went by. We were so different politically, so different kind of socially. So it was hard to keep the tether between us strong.
Right. So you did a bunch of dates even while you were on hiatus, and you probably still kept in touch. And that led to a reunion, because I guess you guys decided that it was necessary, that, you know, you needed to patch up those things and kind of get on with it and realize that not everybody's the same probably, and that you need to figure it out, right?
Yeah. I think sometimes you just need a little space to appreciate one another.
Yeah.
So that was really helpful. So I think, yeah, it just took a little time to, and now there's like a great appreciation, and we had some great times. Don't get me wrong.
Right.
But it just got a little too incestuous.
So it's good that Dispatch 12 came out, Location 12 came out last year, and you were able to tour the record and get along and notice that the fan base was absolutely still there for you guys, and that you absolutely needed to write material and tour again and be with one another. So that's great for the fans and probably great for you guys that you were able to do that.
Yeah, it's astounding, I think, that the people, you know, care about the band, you know, this far in, and are hearing about the band new for the first time. You know, it's we've had these songs on the radio for the first time ever, and so it's like this album was really helpful in kind of reigniting us, and so lucky to be able to play shows and have people show up.
The thing about your band and about your fans is that it's a lot more than just the music. I mean, you guys have a bunch of causes and continue to have causes that you are really proud of and really that are really important to you, whether it's education or the Elias Fund or whatever else. These are things that, you know, this collective activism, I think, is really important to Dispatch. And that's something that you've gone ahead with regardless. I mean, you keep your nose to the ground and keep doing those sorts of things because they are so important, right?
Yeah, I don't think that we would be in this band if we didn't feel like we could use the platform for change for the better. So we have all sorts of This last tour we were really focusing on trying to curb the sexual harassment that happens in the music industry and at live shows. We were raising money for youth organizations, Pine Ridge Reservation, in South Dakota, we were selling bracelets for orange bracelets for gun safety to help out survivors of gun violence. So the songs all have a lot of different, you know, meanings and messages in them, and we try to kind of mirror that with our Action Village at the shows.
One of those songs is Letter to Lady J, and it is amongst your most important songs, probably, from a North American perspective, or at least an American perspective.
Yeah.
It seems that the climate, you know, I live in Toronto, and we're talking to you from Toronto, so I have a different take on probably what's going on in your country than the inhabitants of your country. It's sad, frankly, as an outsider looking in.
Although I think you just got a dose of it in Quebec.
Yes, it's true. We did. But you know, they've wanted to separate anyway, so they can do that now.
It's a terrible time.
It is a terrible time, and it's a shame that it's this fake or fraudulent notion that populism is leading the way. It's not. It's the angry vocal minority that are leading the way, unfortunately.
The angry elite.
Elite, yes. Well, which is ironic to say the least, but. The president and just the tone of the country, what's going on with the Supreme Court justice situation, Kavanaugh. Yeah. I mean, these are things that you guys experience, and obviously as a band who, you know, politically leans a certain way, it's important for you guys to talk about it, but it's also important for you guys to create a place of refuge where your fans can come and have a good time without thinking about what's going on, right? How do you juxtapose those two notions of A, having a good time, but B, but doing it realizing what's going on around you?
Yeah, well, hopefully, you know, when you go see a band like Dispatch, or a band that you know is overtly political, that you have a good time there because you feel like you're part of a movement that is against white supremacy, and it's for gun safety, and it's for better mental health care, and it's, you know, and so you, it's, you're, it kind of, you know, like if that, that you feel like you're part of something bigger and part, and something that's, you know, has some good movement. So I think, you know, there can, and some of the songs are, you know, it's not like the whole thing is political. It's like, you know, it's a really, the atmosphere is, you know, I can say from on stage, it's fun. You know, we have fun on stage, and hopefully people are having fun in the crowd, but it's, the balance is kind of put out there no matter what, because some people don't even really necessarily listen to the lyrics. They're just there to have a good time anyways. But then there are those who feel, you know, hopefully, take comfort in that, you know, if there's all this shit going on in our country, but at least we're all here together, and we are, you know, striving for a more tolerant and less corrupt and less ego-driven society.
Let's talk about the music, because at the heart of what you guys are is a band that has huge fans, and they're fans not only because of the politics, or not exclusively because of the politics, but as you mentioned, the music. And so this new project, this idea of releasing records, the first Location 12 and now Location 13, is interesting. Did you record both records at the same time in Stinson Beach, or were they separate recording sessions?
Yeah, they were about a year apart.
But you decided that you had such a good... Yeah, you had such a good time with 12 that you went back for 13. Is that what
exactly?
It is?
Yeah, it was like we got to go back, and It was so fun to go back because you know exactly what to expect. And John Dragonetti and Mike Sawicki, who are producers and engineers, those guys are just so brilliant at what they do. And so and the house is like this, you know, kind of junkyard castle, and it's up on a hill looking over the Pacific Ocean, and so you feel like you're kind of getting on a ship when you get in there. It's really fun and really inspiring.
What's interesting about how you've released these songs is that you have released singles in a series leading up to the release of the entire record on November the 16th. Was that purposeful? What made you decide to kind of release songs in this specific way?
I was just thinking of the way that people take in music these days, and this the pace of the life that everyone lives. And with so many distractions, I was like, well, if I were really excited about a band, I wouldn't want an album. I'm not sure I'd have the time to really jump into 12 songs at the same time. I'd be really excited to get a song every 2 weeks, because then I could just totally jump into that song for that amount of time. And then just when I was getting through that, there'd be another one. And so it's just kind of, I don't know, it's just kind of a way to shake it up a little.
It sort of puts you on a path, though, that your fans are going to be expecting music from you almost year-round, right? Because if you're releasing...
Right, yeah. We could be digging ourselves in a ditch.
Which is not necessarily a bad thing if you're inspired to write music. How did fans take to these new songs on your summer tour? I mean, were they psyched about them? Obviously, you were playing "quote unquote" the hits, I'm sure, as well throughout the tour, with such a huge canon of music at your disposal. But were they psyched about the new tunes to what you saw?
Yeah, well, we would play even before "Letter to Lady J" came out. We were ending the whole show with it, so that was a good sign that it was enough, just kind of on first listen, and enough of the energy. And then Naco and Medicine for the People would join us, and Razor Goza, and just everyone who was on the tour already would jump on the stage with us, and we'd end the show with it. So that's really helpful as a band when you have a new song that can anchor a whole show. And that felt really great for us. And yeah, the political message is in it as well. So so that was really great to see. And then other songs like "Came for the Fire," I think, were really fun to play and to start to see reaction from the crowd. And we did. There was a bunch of them, and we just it was hard for us to do the set list every night because we were trying to fit in these tunes. But if we fit in all the, you know, from 12 and 13, if we fit everything in, then we would play zero old songs. And we recognize that that's not exactly realistic either. So, but it was really fun. The crowds were amazing, and they were just, we just feel very honored and lucky that people are showing up and listening and singing along. And so it's really, it was really helpful for us band members to see that reaction.
What's interesting about your band and your story is that you've been independent since day one, pretty much, and your sound has been fairly eclectic since day one. And so when you've seen other bands come out since, you know, 96, 97, that are doing it the same way that you've done it, with this DIY kind of ethos, and not pigeonholing themselves into a genre and not necessarily being beholden to the man. Are you excited about the state of music today? Because it is, in many ways, you guys were pioneers in sort of doing it this way.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's a beautiful thing about that kind of equalizing factor of being able to record and getting your music out there without the major label. So we're all for it. And, you know, I think it's in some ways it's a trickier landscape because I don't think the artists, there's so many bands and it's you know, you don't get much from record sales anymore, that kind of thing, because it's just everything streaming. But you try to just hit the road, and that's where kind of artists' bread and butter come from. And so it's a little bit of a jog here and there to try to keep it going and figure out, you know, with the changing seas, how to stay afloat. But I'm not knocking the new way, because I do feel like it's great that with a lot less money you can make a record and you can get your music out there.
Right. And as far as the eclectic nature, I mean, you know, we are beholden now to playlists and streaming, and whether we like it or not, we all take in so many different genres of music, whether it is reggae or ska or punk and rock. And that's, you know, kind of what Dispatch has been about. I mean, you guys have always been a very eclectic kind of band in terms of sonic priority and giving fans different tastes of different things, right?
Yeah, I think a lot of different influences, and so it is, you know, it's a bit hard to pin down perhaps, but that keeps us, I guess that's what keeps us in it too, you know, it keeps us interested.
What's next? So the record comes out November 16th, and is there a plan for a winter tour? What are the plans for you guys moving forward?
We have a little acoustic tour at the end of November, and I'm going to work on some my third solo record.
Cool.
Probably through the winter, and then Dispatch, I think we're going to try to hit up a lot of festivals in the summertime, so that's exciting.
That is great.
And, you know, working some of these tunes that we still have yet to play live from Location 13. That's exciting too, when you have new shit in the wings.
And I'm sure as politics unfolds, there could be inspiration for Location 14, right?
Yeah. I guess the silver lining.
All right.
Oh my god.
Hey man, I can still remember hearing people just yelling and screaming the words to The General when it first came out, and what a treat to sit down some 20 years later and talk to you, 22 years later, and talk to you about your music. And I'm so glad that you guys have been able to put it back together and are out doing it, because you sound like those good guys that are you know, in it for the right reasons. So I appreciate your time today. I really do.
Well, thanks so much. That's such a nice, you know, it's always great to hear feedback like that. And that's, keeps us going. So thanks for listening through all those years.
A very authentic conversation with a very talented and interesting dude who obviously has a lot to say. I really dig this band's sound, and make no mistake, they are the precursor to a lot of the folk-inspired reggae we listen to today from people like Roots of Creation, Soja, Slightly Stupid, and Stick Figure, amongst others. Dispatch, Location 13, drops on November 16th as a physical album, but you can stream it today on your favorite platform. For more on Dispatch's goings-on and to order Location 13, the physical album, visit dispatchmusic.com. Before we leave you, have a listen to Letter to Lady J, a poignant and topical song for the moment.
My dear old friend, it's you we need. There's blood in the gutters and fear in the streets. How long do we fight for change that never comes? Oh, in some ways it's the same. But tonight the crowd, they came. Fists in the air, candles and vigils. cracked dreams held together with curses and wishes. But how long's it been since you've been outside? How long's it been since you opened your eyes? 'Cause I've been to the lion and it's all right there. And I cannot wait to get on from. Voluntary tears and the tears we felt. It always have to get worse before it gets better. Oh, in some ways it's the same. But tonight in the crowd they came. Fists in the air, candles and vigils. Cracked dreams held together with curses and wishes. But how long's it been since you've been outside? And how long's it been since you opened your eyes? 'Cause I've been to the light and it's all right there. And I cannot wait to get on from. Tell the spirit mystics of tomorrow that in some ways it's the same. But tonight the crowd they came. Fists in the air, candles and vigils. Cracked dreams held together with curses and wishes. But how long's it been since you've been outside? How long's it been since you opened your eyes?
You've been listening to The Sound Podcast. Technical production by Adam Karsh and Andrea Ruse. Inspired by the music we love. Subscribe to our newsletter today at thesoundpodcast.com/subscribe. Like us on Facebook and follow us on Instagram and Twitter. The Sound Podcast is part of the Osiris Network. For more, visit osirispod.com. Thanks for listening.
Osiris.